Hello and welcome to the S Words podcast. We're doing another special interview here, and we are going to talk to the creators of Three Panels Soul.
And Mac Hall.
And Mac Hall. This is Ian McConville and Matt Boyd.
Hi.
It's good to have you guys.
How's it going?
I feel like I've never met you guys before.
Well, that's strange, since you record a podcast in our house every weekend.
So we've had people request that we interview you guys for a while, and Dom's been passing along the idea, and I said, yeah, let's do it. So,
well, it's a little awkward for me because, I mean, you're my roommates, so how do I ask you questions that I haven't actually heard before? It's like, how do you do things when I'm not looking?
Well, there's probably plenty of stuff. We don't really talk about, you know, video games and anime.
That's true.
Even under ideal circumstances.
All right, so let's get cracking then, huh?
Yeah, so...
So I'm sure that people would like to know how you guys got together, because that's not necessarily a story you tell at anywhere other than conventions. I don't think it's been online very often, has it?
I don't believe so. We once had a slideshow, but I never put that online, I don't think.
Well,
I guess I'll start with that, since it began with me. When I started at my college back in Ohio, it was Bowling Green, I started doing little webcomics that stick on my doorway, and... After a while, I ran out of door space, and so I started putting them online. And at some point after putting them online, I was talking to Matt in a Bungie fan channel that I used to hang out. It was for Bungie.org, or was it some other affiliate?
Yeah, Bungie.org.
And that's when you gave me the heavy-handed idea. Well, how'd that go again?
Gosh, I have all of these ideas for comic strips, but I can't draw.
Yeah, that's real subtle.
Yeah. So I said I'd put his name on any comic that he wrote for, and as you probably have noticed, that name's been on almost all of them.
There you go.
The misconception a lot of people have is that we went to college together because that's what it looks like in the comic, but we actually only met online, and I wrote myself into the comic because I was selfish and wanted to be in it. I was the administrator for a section of the Bungie.org website that was devoted to total conversions, or... Let's see, what are they usually called in games?
Mods?
Mods are... Okay, well, total conversions.
Yeah, that's the right term.
Okay.
And Ian had done one called Marathon Red by himself and finished it, which finishing it by itself is just very unusual in total conversion projects, because usually it's just somebody saying, oh, well, I have an idea for a game project, but I need artists, programmers, modders, developers, map makers, and Ian had done it single-handedly. So that is how we first ran into each other.
Well, it's both a source of pride and shame. Yeah.
That's everybody's early work, though. So let's lead into this next question. When was the first time you guys actually met in person, then?
That would have been Otakon 2003.
Was that the same one I was at?
2001. Okay, yeah, that
about
was
a year
actually,
after we started.
It was actually the first time we met you in person too, I believe.
Yeah, I'm very sorry for whatever I did to you, because I'm pretty sure that it was pretty terrible whatever I did to you guys.
You had no pants on.
Actually, that's pretty tame. Never mind, I take that back. I don't apologize at all.
You were wearing heart boxer shorts.
Yeah.
Little else.
Yeah. So anyway,
I learn things about my own co-host all the time now.
He was a Maximo costume, I believe.
Oh, I see.
There was a reason.
I was just looking for an excuse. Anyway, so Kevin, did you have any questions for them?
Oh, actually, my question is, for the comic, you guys have been doing it for a while. What keeps you guys going at it? I mean, I know Mac Hall eventually ended, and then you guys went on with Three Panels Soul. Just wondering, what's the drive?
Well, for me, it's fun, and it keeps my skills sharp.
Well, you know, we did talk about it at one point, you know, like, are we just going to keep going out of sheer bloody-mindedness, or are we going to, what's our reason for doing this? And we both kind of decided, you know, doing comics is important to us, even if it's not necessarily how we make our living and put food on the table. It's part of who we are.
So I also have this other question. What was how did it feel to transition over from Mac Hall to Three Panels Soul? Usually you don't see a lot of times when people creating webcomics, they go on and create a totally different, well, not totally different, but just another one under a different title and everything.
Well, I feel Mac Hall ended well. Like it was the right time. It was done, you know, and then I think Matt and I spent about a year just tossing around ideas on what we're going to do next.
Yeah, I was, originally we were going to do a big fantasy epic type thing. It was going to be like, you know, hundreds of pages long and not funny and
the standard thing the Gag-a-Strip comic or Gag-a-Day comic does after they're done.
Yeah, and
who else has done that actually?
Oh, well, let's see, what was it?
Oh, now we're naming names.
Oh wait, Poe, right?
Yeah, Michael Poe. Michael Poe.
Exploitation now into Errant story, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is still funny, still less jokes.
Fewer Moogles.
Yes, fewer Moogles.
Oh well.
But I was talking to Jorge Rivas. He does intermittently does a comic called Underpower under the name Vez, and just kind of talking to him about, you know, what was shaping up for what we were going to do next, and saying to him, you know, yeah, we were thinking about doing the big epic tale, but you know, comic strips are really what we like doing, you know, like it or not, we've got a 3-panel soul, was what I said. And that's where the name came from.
It's a great name.
Yeah, and with 3-panel soul, basically decided, well, we have our one rule.
Everything must have 3 panels, that's pretty much it, yep.
Man, those rules are hard to stick by sometimes, right?
Yeah, it was a little tricky at first, because I'm used to working with, you really have to be careful with 3. You can't waste any time, which I think in the end was, a good self-imposed rule and kind of not letting a comic get bloated with stuff it doesn't really need. But it was kind of tricky at first figuring out the cadence of just having 3 panels as opposed to 4, which is sort of the way I'd been thinking about comics, when I was writing them. Even if they went out to 5 or 6 or something like that, there's just a different structure to them.
So here's a question that's just sort of for me. You guys have done almost as many conventions as I have for this thing. And so I have my own ways. How do you guys keep from burning out on just the travel, the weekend, losing a weekend to basically work on something else, having all of those people come up and believe that their time is, having all those people come up and be like, hey, I'd like to ask you really personal questions, but I've never met you before. Or, hey, let me ask you the same question the last 15 guys have asked. You know, how do you keep from that from, you know, getting to you?
I don't know. Maybe I have a short attention span.
Well, probably by not doing many conventions, I think.
Lucky bastards.
You know, Jess helps a lot and she gets everything set up. Just practice, I guess.
I also feel that usually when the people come up to talk to us, they're usually very, I don't know, fun to talk to. I think I can count on one hand the amount of times people have come up and I'm just like, I really don't want to be talking right now. I'm just going to put my head on the desk and just fall asleep. Go into high school mode, basically.
I want to follow up with this is, what's the one question you wish people would stop asking you? Or is there no question?
I've got my own webcomic. Do you have any advice for how I can get that started? That's the one that I wish would stop coming around.
I don't think I really have one.
Wow.
Usually the question is, can you draw me something? But it's followed by, I don't know what you should draw. I don't mind drawing, but when they have no ideas, I just blank out and go, crap, what do I draw? What do I draw? They're waiting. Crap.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, there's some of these webcomic guys out there who seem like they're doing a convention every other weekend or every weekend, and that would kill us, I think. You know, maybe if we were doing that, people might notice a question that people keep asking. But as it is, it's pretty spaced out, so.
How do you guys pick which conventions you do actually go to?
The ones that invite us. Pretty much.
That was easy enough.
There you go.
Yeah, we don't really strategically hit conventions. Just like, wanna come? Okay.
So, what's the question that pops up in your mind as the weirdest thing someone's ever asked you at one of these things? Either an interview or a convention or a panel?
It's probably not the weirdest one, but the one that I remember is somebody going, can I sit on your lap? This was a guy. It's like, no. It's like, can my girlfriend sit on your lap? Yeah, okay.
I think the weirdest question I got was, do you want these brownies?
Did you take them?
I think Matt took a batch, but...
Yeah, they were tasty.
And it was just some guy who came up to you and just asked you if you wanted brownies.
Dude had some brownies.
I think it was our first or second Kineticon, and a guy came up with brownies, and that surprised the hell out of me.
Did he bring the brownies specifically for you guys, or was he just bringing brownies and handing them around?
I think it might have been for us. It was as some sort of like thank you for the comic. It's been a long time, and I have a crappy memory.
What's it like being in the whole webcomics community? Do you guys actually interact very much within it, or do you usually just do your own thing and then?
I'm going to step into this one because the term webcomics community is a lie.
What's it like in the webcomics rat race?
I don't talk a whole lot online with people that I'm not intimately familiar with, so I guess I don't really get involved a whole lot. I mean, there's a few people I know that I enjoy talking to, like Scott Ramsmere is a lot of fun to hang out with. I don't know.
Yeah, I play Left 4 Dead with Scott Ramsmere and some other...
Is that all the swearing I hear coming out of your room?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a few people who get together on Steam to play Left 4 Dead. Beyond that, you know, there's a few people who I talk to on a semi-regular basis. Let's see, Kate Beaton, usually Instant Messenger, R. Stevens, of course, our distributor, Jeff Roland of Overcompensating and Waigu. Usually that's in a business capacity. But, you know, just it's nice to say hey to people every now and then.
I feel I have more connections with just people I've run into at conventions. Like, for example, Snafu Dave, as we call him, you know.
I can never remember his last name. I just call him Snafu Dave.
It's Stanworth. He sells t-shirts a lot of the time. He does his own comic, and we see him almost everywhere we go. He's usually fun to be around. I think my favorite person we've ever run into was George Rohack. We met him at, I think, our first Kineticon, or it might have been the second. Regardless, that year they were having a webcomics video game challenge. I'm usually not a big fan of doing the challenges and such, just too much pressure, and I'm already traveling, and, you know, I'd get stressed out. But George is like, so, you got a team going? I'm like, no, not really. Tell you what, I'll be your team. And he did all the challenges himself. I believe he handed some ass out at Smash Brothers.
We did do the Halo challenge at the very end, though, didn't we?
Yeah.
We got beaten by a Control-Alt-Delete, I think, in a 3-on-3 match.
Cool guy.
Does he actually have anything to do with webcomics in general, or was he just a Kineticon personality?
Well, we keep running into him, and he's got his hands in a lot of projects.
Yeah, he's sort of that guy everybody knows.
I mean, he's working for Stephen Colbert now, isn't he?
Not yet. Starts in the summer. He will be an intern on the Colbert Show. Wow. The Colbert Report. I'm sorry.
Because that seems a little bit better than webcomics. I wish I could take that career path.
So I want to go a bit more into kind of general things, since I know both of you guys also like a lot of comics. You just want to name some like particular series, some particular authors, illustrators that you guys enjoy, you think people should read more of, or...
Well, I know I'm the less cultured one in this topic. My bookmark's mostly just... The one I read every week is Maliki. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, because the comic is in French, but the art is gorgeous. And you really don't need to be able to understand the language to get what's going on in it. It's just... It's well drawn, the motions are very readable, and it's just good stuff.
My personal top three webcomics are Igwood by Chris Onstad, The Adventures of Dr. McNinja by several people, and Gunner Creek Court by Tom Siddell. They make me very jealous.
Maybe that's why I don't read other webcomics, because then I'll go, man, I'm such a failure. Look at this, the full page art, and... They're not taking, you know, 2 weeks to put it together, and I need to get faster at drawing.
But actually expanding on that, I meant even like beyond that, I'm talking about the regular comics industry and things like that.
I'm further uncultured in that topic. I only read The Watchmen because every person I knew back in high school had a copy somewhere in their apartment, and I'd always find it and just pick up where I left off.
Isn't that how you read Sandman too?
Same thing.
Yeah, and in fact, I think you just saw my absolute Sandmans lying around on the floor, and you started reading those recently, right?
Yeah, I have not read the last, I think, two books, but what? I know how it ends, so I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
Yeah, I think everybody knows how Sandman ends at this point.
No, don't tell me. Don't tell me.
Okay. Oh, wow. Well, you see, Eris dies.
I knew that.
Sandman is on the Titanic and it hits an iceberg and it sinks.
Morpheus meets this guy named Neo. He's the one.
Get it? Neo is the one, you know, rearranged. Huh? Huh? Get it? Get it?
Okay. Sure.
Matt?
Well, I don't really read too many superhero comics. I have read a few. Print comics. Yeah, just
print comics.
My tastes are pretty scattershot. My the piece de resistance of my collection is actually the Chick Tract Dark Dungeons, which I have a copy of on the table over there.
Can I put it right next to the D&D Player's Manual just to see what happens?
Yeah, it might burst into flame. You never
Please
know.
Don't set my Player's Handbook on fire.
What about version 2?
Okay, sure.
One I've been something I've been recommending to people lately is The Cartoon History of the Universe by, author's name is escaping me at the moment.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, I like him
he?
Too, and I'm yeah. like, oh, I can't remember either.
That guy. You know, that
really
guy.
His name.
I just picked up Hellboy 8. Surprise, Ooh. Surprise, there's ghosts. Nazi ghosts. also a mythology from a lesser known pantheon plus Nazi ghosts.
Nazi ghosts are all the pieces that you need to sell. And some red guy.
He also
I hear he has a couple of movies, or maybe just one.
Yeah, he also brought home a copy of Skydoll recently, and I flipped through that. That's some gorgeous art as well.
Yeah, lent by a friend of mine. French. I always feel like I should be reading more French comics just because they've evolved in a completely different way from American comics. And it's kind of like, if you read a comic and it's got a dystopia and it's got amazing color, probably French, which is what happened with that. I mean, the first couple pages, it's like, chaotic future dystopia, amazing color. Oh, yeah, it is French.
Yeah, beautiful art. Whole lot of tits, but beautiful art.
That pretty much describes every culture's comics, really. Well, the
Americans tend to focus on the first part.
A lot of tits or the beautiful art part?
Think about it.
Okay. Because, you know, I mean, Masamune Shiro did the same thing. It's like, you know what? My art's really good. You know what I'm going to spend my time doing? Breasts.
I really don't draw enough tits in my comic. Matt, your character's getting tits.
All right.
Man
we're
moves,
writing,
go.
We're writing in some areolas.
It's just a vengeance for years of making me draw the Matt Fro.
I got a haircut. I shaved my head. No, I didn't. But it's radio, so you can't tell.
I like to ask you this, since you guys talk more about like the style of these comics, which art or writing style do you guys enjoy using the most? I know Three Panel Soul kind of chooses different ways of presenting itself.
Yeah, at the beginning we kind of said that we wanted to not settle into a rut, which, you know, you can judge for yourself how successful we've been at that, but we kind of wanted the goal to be opening up the page every week and not quite knowing what you were going to see.
Yeah, we had a comic about an anglerfish about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
that one confused me.
See, in terms of writing, Chris Onstad of Akewood is always coming up with stuff where I'm just like, how did he think of that? You know, even stuff just like the weird patternoir that Roast Beef has of speaking, and just great ideas every page. That's the only one I can think of right now, actually.
All right, what about art styles other than that French guy, Ian?
Well, as far as the art has developed in Three Panel Soul, I don't know. I like, as part of doing the comic, I'm trying to keep my 2D skills, refined. Since at work, I mostly work with polygons. I love polygons. I just keep trying to change it up whenever I think of a new idea. But at the same time, I don't want to spend, 8 to 12 hours drawing a comic if I don't need to. So I'm not going to wander too far out of my comfort zone. So I have, though, switched up bringing in a lot more black and white since Mac Hall was almost completely colored.
Well, you hated that, too, didn't you?
Yes, with Mac Hall, I purposely stopped drawing line art because I hate inking. But it doesn't mean I still can't, practice those skills now and again.
Fair enough.
Lately, I switch around the art style. I've been playing with a more concept-y painter style in my free time. I might try that with the next comic. I think my favorite art style I ever developed was the one from Mac Hall, the cell-shaded, no-lines, sort of flash vectory style. That was developed because I was working on a video game and I needed to color hundreds of sprites really fast. So that's what happened.
Well, there you go. The history of Three Panel Soul.
I like to ask you guys, let's branch off to some other things. What other forms of media influenced you guys with the stuff you're working on? So we're not just talking about comics anymore, but with just even books or film or music or games, I guess, too.
Well, I don't know how pathetic it is to say, but my life is video games. I make video games. I come home, I play video games. In my free time, I make more video games. I draw comics about video games.
You used a video game to propose to his wife.
That too. I don't know. I think when it comes to making games, I just go, it's beautiful to see something I've created just sort of wander around and interact. Usually you shoot it, but you know, the same thing. It's, you see it alive for a little bit.
For me, I'm not really sure, to be honest. I think definitely, I know this question isn't limited to comic strips, but Calvin and Hobbes and The Far Side definitely had a big influence on me growing up. I had these volumes of comic strips that I was really too young to understand, especially The Far Side, which is just kind of like a fever dream if you're 6 years old.
Pretty much. That's a pretty good description of it.
There's a saying out there that you can only be as good as the best person you read. When you're creating things, and I don't know if that's true or not, but if it is true, I need to get out there and read a whole lot more.
That's a depressing thought, actually.
It's for writers, not for artists.
I don't know, in creation general, it sounds like you can only be as good as the person you're copying. Like,
well, it can't be true for everybody, or nobody would ever get better.
Yeah.
Best not to think about it too much.
It's a dumb saying. Let's just leave it there.
So you guys are prepping for Anime Central. That's in 1 week pretty much now at this point.
Yep.
What do you go through when you have to prep to go to one of these conventions? Is it pretty regular for you guys now? Are there still things you have to worry about?
Well, one thing we learned at our last convention, Animation on Display, that we've been out of the game for a while and we need to work on our stage presence a bit. We need to stop going, all right, we need to apologize for being in front of you, you know. We need to have confidence, I suppose. Right now, I really wish I knew what panels I was doing, but I'm pretty sure we'll be doing a meet and greet and probably an art panel, so I think I'm just going to be prepping some artwork that I can talk about and write down some various key things about art that I want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, there's the usual logistics of getting all our swag there to recoup the costs of staying at the hotel or whatever else we're doing or whatever our expenses are. And hopefully maybe making a little bit of money in the process. But, you know, that logistics are something that always seem a lot easier than they are before you actually try and
if you really want to hear about all the stuff that needs to go on before we arrive, you need to talk to Jess. She handles all the stuff that, you know, we're too scatterbrained to keep track of.
In terms of preparation, like Ian said, we really need to do some for panels we're going to be on. Preparation sounds like a good idea. We should look into that.
That sounds like how I do these things. All right. Anything else, Kevin?
You just want to go into rapid fire silly questions?
Sure. Rapid fire silly questions. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Go ahead.
How much time a day do you spend pantsless?
I need clarification. Are we talking about awake or asleep?
Awake.
All right. Basically no time pantsless. Very little.
Even if you include asleep, probably 5 minutes.
Wow. You guys spend a lot of time with pants on.
I'm not opposed to pantslessness on a philosophical basis. It's just the way these things play out.
All right. Who's on your list of people you can have sex with and it's not cheating?
This is a little personal, don't you think?
I'm just kidding.
I'm single, so all of them.
All right.
I think the closest I can say is Final Fantasy XI, which is considered my ex-girlfriend. I managed to pick up 2 copies and got Jess to play for a little bit. I think that's cutting it pretty close. I can say, though, that she burned me again, and, you know, we've gone our separate ways. But I still pay her bills.
You still pay for your Final Fantasy XI account?
I can't figure out how to cancel the dang thing.
Well, that's the real Final Fantasy. That's the real question.
Isn't that on the company credit card?
Yeah. Huh.
Oh, that's why.
All right, Kevin, any silly questions you can think of?
Well, let's go straight through this. Okay, you're stuck on an island. You can only either bring ice cream or an old Reader's Digest volume. Which do you bring? The ice cream is 1 gallon. You can have any flavor you want.
I guess I would, from a practical standpoint, just bring the Reader's Digest. Seems like it has more uses. You know, keep out the humor and uniform. Keep that around. Keep me from going insane.
I don't know. Humor and uniform would make me go insane faster. Ian?
Mint ice cream.
Wow.
All right.
Interesting.
You get the option of working on either Spider-Man or Batman. Which do you choose?
Batman. I don't know crap about Spider-Man.
I'd go with Spider-Man.
Do you like writing for Spider-Man? Would you like writing for
Actually,
Spider-Man?
Actually, no. I'm changing it back to Batman.
Okay.
Probably know about the same in terms of both characters' histories. But, you know, kind of like to take Batman back a little bit further away from the Dark Knight. Kind of, I'm brooding and angry and my parents are dead.
My parents are dead.
Where are they?
You know, just kind of maybe write a story about hanging out with your sidekick and thwarting bank robberies and having adventures.
All right.
Kind of seems like fun.
Next question.
You get one video game to play for the rest of your life. This includes PC games.
I've played Final Fantasy Tactics for the PS1 probably 6 times through. I think I could play it a couple more times through. 60 hours of playthrough.
I guess I'll go with World of Warcraft. Currently off
no,
the wagon.
No, you don't get any new
Is it
updates.
On the wagon? Or wait,
Currently,
you don't get any updates?
No updates.
Oh, well, I got to change my answer.
You
then.
Get what you what's there now.
Is it like a private server only or something?
It's like time freezes and you're the only one still there.
So no multiplayer.
Ooh, no multiplayer.
Ooh, that totally changes that.
Yeah.
You'll have NPCs that are like humans.
Now we're just getting surreal with this.
We've been getting a little surreal the entire time.
Online games change this question a lot.
All right, let's go with a different question. You get to take back one movie you watched or one game that you played. What would you wish that you had a take back on so that you never played it or you never watched it?
My gut reaction is Two Worlds, but you know, I kind of like telling the story about that, so I don't know.
Two Worlds is a bad one. I only watched you play it, and I kind of wish I could have that time back.
They have an expansion.
I mean, movies, let's see. I just saw Dragon Ball Evolution, but I went into it knowing it was going to be bad, and that's why I went to see it. So I can't really complain about that one. Well, I mean, yes, I can, but...
We complain about it still. Go for it.
I don't complain.
Man, that was a bad movie. Okay, I'm done.
There. All right. Because I know what I would like back. I think Kevin and I are looking at each other going, yep.
Oh, the Evangelion movie.
Ah.
Which one?
The one that ends with giant naked Rey.
Oh, that one.
That one. Oh, spoiler. Oh, my God.
For a series that's over 10 years old.
Yeah. All right. That's a good take back. Are you sticking with Dragon? No, you're not sticking with Dragon Ball Evolution.
Yeah. This is really tough. All right. I'm.
This is the toughest question we've asked you.
You lived a very good life.
I've thought of one. And it's Back to the Future for the NES.
Oh, I would love to take that back, too. Damn, I own that.
That was the second video game I ever owned, and I played the hell out of it, and I don't know why.
How far did you get?
Because it was the only game you had. That was
I got up
worked.
To the DeLorean stage at the
Whoa.
End, where you... Yeah, I played it a lot. Because, but then, if you fail the DeLorean stage, you lose.
Yeah.
No more lives, no more continues, if that's what I remember correctly.
That's terrible design. Wow.
You think that's terrible design? You haven't played the
rest
of the game.
You have to be going exactly 88 miles an hour.
The entire time?
When you cross the finish line.
Oh.
I don't know if you have to time it for the lightning strike or not. I was actually just reading about this on GameFAQs, and even the GameFAQ. The one GameFAQ that has been created for this is like, yeah, don't play this. Don't even bother. why are you doing this?
Is that the whole fact?
No, but...
It should be.
When I was young, having seen the movie, I thought you had to time it so you were going 88 miles an hour just as the clock ran out and lightning struck. I don't think that was actually true, though.
Wow.
That's a pretty serious take back.
Just had to be going 88 miles an hour at the very end of the stage. And I don't think there was an indicator when the end of the stage was coming up. Maybe there was. It's all kind of blurring together. But I would really take back that time during my childhood.
You are describing
one
of the worst games in existence, though, so there you go.
Yeah, Marty...
So many people have played it.
It's like the two power-ups you can get during the meat of it. Skateboard, all right, and the bowling ball.
Remember
when Marty was using the bowling ball in Back to the Future, all that bowling he did?
And all the bees that killed him.
Yes, the bees. And the
guys moving glass.
Marble throwing.
Wait, the guys moving glass?
Oh, wait, that might actually be in the movie.
No, wait, really?
I don't know.
And the hula hoop girls throwing these marbles or something at you, these strange projectiles that had like a curved path.
You can't walk into a chair.
You can't walk into a, you can't walk into a bench.
What?
You can't even jump over the bench. You will just, it has, the game has a jump button. There's really not a lot you can do with it.
You know, I'm depressed about hearing this. I'm depressed hearing about this game. Let's just stop, please. For the sake of
you
my youth.
You haven't heard the music.
Let's just stop for the sake of my youth, please.
It's the same notes over and over. Even at the title screen.
You know what? I've accepted your answer. Please stop talking about the game you would like to take back.
So how do you know about this game anyway?
I owned it, too. It was one of the few games I owned on the NES. And I thought it was an achievement just to get past the part where you throw stuff at the soda pop place or whatever.
Yeah.
Wow. And then just to go back to the same stuff that you were doing in the first stage.
With the palette swap.
Yep.
And back to the doodly 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 doodly.
Can we end this
It's a shared childhood nightmare.
Well, Dom's crying. I feel accomplished.
My youth!
Is there anything else you guys like to say? I know you guys are going to be at ASEN soon, so I'm going to have this episode up as soon as possible to also pimp a little.
If we have inadvertently insulted anybody in the webcomics community during this podcast, we're sorry. We don't want to fight with you. We got no beef. No beef.
I guess what I'd like to say is thank you, everyone that's been reading our comics for the years. You know, you make it worth it. Thank you.
Well, there you go.
All right. So that's our interview with Three Panels Soul.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you tomorrow and the next day and
I'll see you next week. Oh, wait, not this
No, 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks.
All right. Thanks, guys.